We have likely heard some of the jokes about food and hunger during COVID-19. There is the COVID-15, the number of pounds that everyone has gained sitting around going to the fridge and the pantry. Or the fridge is the perfect example of what matters being on the inside. Or if we weren't meant to have midnight snacks, why is there a light in the refrigerator? For many of us, life is at least okay during this time. A certain portion may be experiencing difficulties, some more than others, but most are doing okay, even with the restrictions on our lives. We frequently hear about how the people of Israel were having hardship. They were limited in their freedom, not because of a virus, although I suppose a conquering army would seem like a bad disease. They were mostly not very well off, again, at least in part because of extra taxes they had to pay to Rome. We complain about our tax dollars, don't we, not being spent properly. The tax the Jews paid to Rome was to keep an oppressive army presence and to build up the coffers of a foreign power. But these things are not the reason that people went out in the wilderness to be in the presence of Jesus. There was just something about him that touched the longing in their hearts. Thousands of people at the same time recognized that they were hungry for something. There are all kinds of hunger, aren't there? The first one we think of naturally, of course, is physical hunger. Hunger reminds us of the need to take care of our bodies. Whatever the reasons they tracked Jesus down, in the process, they naturally became physically hungry during the day. I'm certain that as the afternoon went on, people must have started thinking about food and whether they should be doing something about supper. We found out a little bit about what happens when we worry that there might be an interruption to the food supply. We had to be assured that lockdown requirements were not going to prevent us from being able to buy our necessary food. And there was kind of, I don't know, we might describe it as a mild panic in the air. And it made us worry about what would happen if there wasn't enough food or even toilet paper. The disciples of Jesus were focused on what was missing. All they could see is the lack and their limitations. This is all we have. To Jesus, they said, send the people away. Let them take care of themselves at the 7-Eleven or the Safeway. They were asking the same question most of us ask. Will there be enough? Especially, will there be enough for me? That's the question we carry around in our hearts and minds, I think, at some level. Will there be enough for us? Will there be enough food, fuel, air, livable space on the planet? The first two readings tell us that God knows our questions. Thus says the Lord, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. But be careful that you are not spending what you have on that which is not really food and will not really satisfy. The miracle of Jesus multiplying food looks back to similar miracles in the Old Testament. But no prophet ever fed 15 to 20,000 people with 5 breadsticks and a half-eaten can of sardines. Even though people were fed a full meal, they followed Jesus because of their hope for something to hang on to, for a deeper hope. Today, the wilderness is the internet, I would suggest. I don't think there is any doubt that most of us are not just doing essential things in those hours on the computer with our screen time. We are out in that vast universe of information, podcasts, and entertainment, and social media, and games, trying to connect somehow. We're trying to figure out a happy ending to the sad story that most of us at some level tell ourselves that we are just not quite good enough in some way. As one writer put it, it's like a stone in your shoe that you don't take the time to remove. It's this nagging feeling that something is wrong. Mindfulness is very big today as a part of the solution. Breathe, be in the present moment, affirm your self-consistency. Let go of your limits. This morning, I got a daily mindfulness reflection for the day from Eckhart Tolle, who is called one of the spiritual teachers of today. His suggestion for my reflection on this Sunday, the day we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, life is the dancer, and you are the dance. That's what I get to hang on to for my hunger if I look to Eckhart Tolle to feed me. But Jesus' heart was moved with pity for the crowds. He had just heard about the violent murder of his cousin, John the Baptist, by Herod. He was grieving, and he was trying to find a quiet place for that grief. Yet the hunger and heartache and the longing of the crowds superseded his own sense of loss and his need for privacy. Spiritual hunger goes even deeper than the physical and the psychological hunger. St. Paul describes it in terms of divine love. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. No physical thing. No illness or tragedy or trial. Not even what we are going through. Hurts from our past, or even our childhood, attempt to wrench us away from that love, regardless of whether we live long or die early. But our spirits need to be fed, just like our bodies. The Word of God is nourishment for us, not our possessions. We have heard this 1,000 times, haven't we? The gospel acclamation today tells us, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So today is a new day to turn to God. Jesus was totally forsaken and abandoned on the cross, but ultimately was not separated from the love of God, who raised him up on the third day. Nothing we will ever experience will be worse than that, regardless of how it may seem to us. Atheism today represents a loss of a sense of the loving and creative power of God. What a tragedy that so many have become isolated from the spiritual nourishment that God wants to provide, but he cannot or will not force us to eat. Related to spiritual hunger, I believe that we have a sacramental hunger, a desire for a permanent and faithful commitment, covenant relationship. This is what is reflected in the marriage vows. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. That's what God is telling us. That's the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment that God is feeding us today. The Lord's main attributes are expressed in the scriptures today. He is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love, good to all, and compassionate. The words merciful and compassionate derive from the Hebrew word for the womb. Hence, the Lord has a motherly tenderness for the child of his womb, and that's his covenant with us. The miracle of the feeding looks forward to the institution of the Eucharist, the sacramental moment which we experience today. Both events take place in the evening. Those attending recline to eat. Jesus performs the same actions and in the same order. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Jesus hands the broken loaves to the same recipients, the disciples, the first priests of the new covenant. They are the ones who feed the people with the miraculous bread. Now, in the person of Christ, the priest will also take, bless, break, and give this food to the people, to us here today. When Jesus provides that meal for the multitude, he is fulfilling Isaiah 55 and Psalm 145 from today. And most importantly, he is fulfilling the human desire of our hearts. Only God satisfies. Ultimately, nothing else satisfies us enough. Nothing else is enough. God is also always working with a people, us, who feel we are enough on our own. This is a problem of the world today. This is the sin of the world today. We're fine on our own, thank you. We think we can solve the environmental crisis, the food crisis, the racism crisis, the coronavirus crisis. There's total amnesia, for example, about Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. It was rooted and inspired by Jesus Christ, not by any purely human capacity for love and peace. It's in us, but that movement, that whole movement, was rooted in Jesus Christ, in the gospel. Without God, there will never be enough love to overcome racism. The richest and most satisfying food is Jesus himself. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to call on him in truth. What is truth? Pilate said while he was getting ready to condemn Jesus to death. And truth himself was standing right there in front of him. We do not need to ask how much we owe for the freedom of God's children. Jesus bought our freedom from sin. How much money would this have cost us? As it says in the ads, it's priceless. We have nothing with which to purchase such a gift, but he gave it to us. Today's passage from Isaiah is read every year at the Easter Vigil. The prayer just before it says, "What the saints of old never doubted would come to pass, the church has now seen fulfilled in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Because Jesus Christ is enough, so are you and I in him. Without him, 5 loaves and 2 fish is enough for one person's lunch. With him, it's enough to feed 15,000. Outside of Jesus, we can never do enough, have enough, be enough. With him, life is transformed into a satisfaction for all of the deepest hungers we long to have satisfied. What is it that makes life worth living? What is enough? Well, physically, eat what is good, basically healthy food. Spiritually, it is the word of God and the Eucharist, bread and wine taken, blessed, broken, and given. If not in person, then at least in spiritual communion. Praising God must be in your heart. Thanking Jesus for his blood must be your pulse. Coming back to the Lord must be your constant action, your refrain. One way of telling whether you'd wash your hands long enough these days is somebody said it takes 22 seconds to wash hands and to say the Lord's Prayer at the same time. What a good idea for us today. If we don't already do something like this, your hands will be clean and so will your heart. On this Lord's Day, give the world's solutions a rest. Let your computer and your phone screens go silent long enough to ask Jesus to feed you. Whatever we have is enough. If we give it to Jesus, he is ready to provide food for a whole world full of hungry people. Our little offering is not a problem for God. It is not a limitation. That's why we bring a little bit of bread and wine to the altar. He transforms it, that little gift, into himself, and he gives it back to us as our spiritual food, as our assurance that we won't lack anything.